This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a ministry of the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Our speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon.
Going on with our new series on the book of Revelation, consider with me this time Revelation 1, the verses 12 to 20. Here we are told about John the Apostle, a persecuted Christian leader exiled on the island of Patmos, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and having God come to him in a wonderful way. While the apostle, no doubt, was in prayer and care for the Christian church in his time, on this Lord's day, then this beloved disciple of Christ heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. And John tells us he heard one speaking, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea." Then we read further, in the verses 12 to 20, that John writes, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive for evermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches." Here ends the reading of Scripture. And what an amazing word this is, still part of the introduction to this last book of the Bible. This last book of the Bible, with all its visions and pictures for the instruction and comfort of the New Testament Christian church of all ages, begins with a vision of the Lord Jesus himself, a dazzling portrait of Christ the King, the exalted Savior. As someone put it, and I quote, "How appropriate that before all else, John sees the one who makes sense of history on a grand scale and of our experience. Every congregation, whatever its struggle at its post on the battlefront, needs to fix its eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of the faith." Hebrews 12, verse 2. Therefore, Revelation begins with a vision of the glory of one like unto the Son of Man, who died but lives forever, walking among the churches and holding them in his hand. End of quote. Dear friend, how crucial not to forget ever this symbolic description of what the exalted Savior in heaven is truly like. We are given here really an awesome presentation of the exalted Savior. Before we look closer at it, however, there is just one irony of history I would have us notice also from this book of Revelation. You know that John the Apostle of Christ was banished to the Isle of Patmos to silence him and his witness for Christ. This island was, as one describes it, a rugged prison island with craggy volcanic hills altogether about 8 miles long and 4 miles wide. Yet now, think of this wonder of wonders. From this lonely island of imprisonment, which was to shut up John, yet John bears witness to Christ as Savior and Lord of his church for now and forever in a way that discounts all boundaries and impacts all peoples and relates to all ages. Just consider this wonder. Emperor Domitian may have banished John to Patmos to shut him up, but God allowed him to go there to be, by his Holy Spirit, the mouthpiece of the revelation of Jesus Christ in a way unsurpassed ever before or after. Do you see, dear ones, how great is our God? The book of Revelation should remind us again and again, don't judge things by how the world views things or how things may seem to us by appearance. Don't live by sight, but by faith. Humanly speaking, it looked like John certainly could no longer have any more influence for good in the Christian church and in the world, being banished on an island in a day when there was no computer, no email, no cell phone, no fax, no nothing. But in God's hand, though this apostle was left on a forsaken island, this apostle was yet mightily used for God's church and kingdom in his day and throughout the generations since. Let us be reminded with this again, how truly God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts higher than our thoughts. Always his plans are so much bigger than we could ever imagine or dream. Yes, indeed, and this comes out also now so much in and with this whole book of Revelation. It is a book meant to be such an encouragement for God's people in the good fight of faith. At the same time, the book serves to give such an earnest, well-meant call to all to come to faith while the second coming of Christ is yet held off. Let's look now closer at the portrait of the exalted Christ, just studying the text in what it says and reserving our application of it more for next time. But notice now how wonderfully the vision of the exalted Christ begins with John turning to see the voice that spoke with him. When John turned, what did he see first? Verse 12 states John first saw the seven golden candlesticks, or lampstands, which we are told in the last verse of the chapter represent the seven churches. And John sees the exalted Savior in the middle of the seven lampstands. Here let us immediately learn Christ cannot be imagined without his church. Christ is where his people are. He is present with his churches, with his people corporately and individually, wherever they may be and whatever struggle or need they may be in. Just as Jesus told his disciples before ascending into heaven, we see here to be the gospel truth, Jesus' words to his people, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." But why is Christ here described as one like unto the Son of Man? Jesus often used this expression in the Gospels to refer to himself, suggesting his becoming one with us in our humanity as the incarnate one. But here in our text, the reference is not so much only to Jesus in his human nature, but to Jesus as the exalted one, to whom is given all dominion and honor and rule. The Bible uses the term Son of Man to reflect Jesus' transcendent majesty. Here I refer you to Daniel 7, verse 13 and 14, where just after Daniel, in a vision, learns about four great kingdoms of men uprooted and taken away, then we read at verse 13 of that chapter 7, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days," symbolizing God the Father. "And they brought him near before him, and there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him." That is Jesus Christ. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. You see, it is this great Son of Man, ruler over the kings of the earth, that is here referred to in Revelation 1. And now just consider some of the details about the exalted Christ. We are told he is clothed with a full-length garment, girded about the chest with a golden band. This doesn't only suggest royalty, but it reflects also the apparel of the high priests in the Old Testament. Christ's head and hair are described like the Ancient of Days, described also in Daniel 7 as being white like wool, as white as snow. This pictures great age and wisdom and dignity. We should take note that what is referred in the book of Daniel to God himself is here in Revelation referred to Jesus himself. Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, the all-wise, all-knowing, eternal Lord of heaven and earth. His eyes are like a flame of fire, referring to his searching and all-seeing powers. Nothing escapes his eyes and his penetrating and pure insight into all things. The Lord sees and is aware of every detail and of every matter, especially also in connection with anything to do with his people. His feet are described as fine brass and as if refined in a furnace, suggesting a picture of holy strength and purifying stability wherever he goes. And his voice, as a sound of many waters, gives a picture of great authority and thunderous magnificence. On top of this all is added yet three other descriptions. We are told in verse 16 that out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, bringing out that the word of this Savior King is a true word, triumphant over all that oppose, and most comforting for all who follow him. Verse 16 also states that his countenance, his appearance, especially in the face, was like the sun shining in its strength. In other words, with such dazzling brilliance and holy brightness, too much to look at even. We are told, too, that not only is this Christ seen as in the midst of the seven lampstands, but he holds the seven stars in his right hand. And the seven stars are the seven angels, most likely messengers of the seven churches. It is an altogether overwhelmingly majestic, glorious picture of Christ as the chief prophet, only high priest, and eternal king of his church that is given us here. Can you picture him in our text, standing there in John's vision, standing so in care and defense of his church here on earth? As one commentator put it, and I quote, "This is someone to be reckoned with." This vision of the exalted Christ is meant at once to strike us with a sense of awe and wonder. In a real sense, Jesus is altogether different from us. This is how God wants us to think about him. And as another put it, "Here is one fit to stand in God's presence and to protect the righteous even amid raging storms." An important point of clarification should be made here. None of us should think that Jesus in heaven now actually physically looks like this picture described in our text here in Revelation 1. No, rather, and this is the important point to get from the text picture, these symbols seen by John in this vision reveal not what Jesus physically looks like, but what he really is like. As one put it, his identity here is as the searcher of hearts, full of consuming holiness and boundless prophetic wisdom, the perfect priest standing for his people before the Father, the perfect king defending them against the devil by his invincible word. Oh, how this true view of the exalted Christ needs to be so proclaimed in our day still. Jesus is not simply meek and lowly, lying in a manger always. Does your view of Christ include this Spirit-inspired vision of John in Revelation 1? Here you have the true picture, the real facts of Jesus Christ the Lord, still today. It teaches us Christ is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, now and forevermore. True Christians trust and follow this view of Christ Jesus, the only biblical view. Is it your perspective as well? Amen.
If you would like a free printed copy of this message for yourself or a friend, write to Banner of Truth Broadcast, 9698 Hep Drive, Chilliwack, British Columbia, Canada. The postal code is V2P 6N6. That's V2P 6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, you can go to frcna.org. Again, frcna.org on the internet. Thanks for listening. Tune in again next week at the same time for the Banner of Truth radio broadcast.